Welcome to a Friday edition of the Green Zone. All Request Friday, 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. All Request Friday. Here's the theme. Rolco Christmas Party, there's usually karaoke. What song should Locker sing at karaoke? 1-877-332-8255.
I was actually chatting about
it. You don't have to.
I'm not going to. Here's the thing that I was having a conversation, a friend of mine. We were talking about songs that people shouldn't be allowed to sing anymore. Journey. Don't Stop Believing.
Okay.
Can we take that off of people's playlists, please?
Like for karaoke?
For karaoke. It's a good song.
Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
That's a tough one, too.
That nobody can hit those notes.
Anything over 5 minutes. Like, if you're doing Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, that's a crime. You were right. She couldn't get to the red.
I told you she wasn't going to be able to get that done. There's a final in game one of the best of three at the curling trials as Rachel Holman, like an inch away from maybe going to extras, but Rachel Holman wins game one by a score of 5-4. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and Lewis just texted in. How about them Cowboys?
Prescott looking around in trouble.
He did. Flips it to Williams for the touchdown at the last moment.
On this drive, I just saw Dak Prescott will his team to the lead right there.
Dak Prescott will be the Madden MVP of this game.
Tony sounds a little rough there, eh?
Yeah, a little bit. Might have been... But Dak Prescott, two touchdowns, 320 yards. He was the player of the game in a 31-28 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes threw for four touchdown passes in the loss. The Chiefs' playoff chances, according to one website, said 29%. According to the Athletics website, it's 44% to make the playoffs. How about the Cowboys, though? In the last 5 days, they've taken down the Eagles and the Chiefs, who, of course, were the combatants in the Super Bowl yesterday.
Who do you think gets in the playoffs for,
more likely?
More likely, Cowboys or Chiefs?
They both miss, but I think the Chiefs, because it's the Cowboys, I'm sorry, they're going to let down their fan base. The Chiefs are the team that all of a sudden gets a call and it's in their favor. The Packers beat the Lions yesterday, as we mentioned throughout the show yesterday. Jordan Love threw four touchdown passes. Last night, it was the Bengals, whose defense is terrible. We're all over Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. The Bengals win 32-14, and Joe Burrow's return. He threw two touchdown passes last night, and the Bengals' victory over the Ravens.
Speaking of quarterbacks that look rough, Lamar, not looking good.
He hasn't had a touchdown pass in a couple of games.
We have a game today. They're calling it the Black Friday game.
Not the same old Bears. Ben Johnson's been saying it all year long. Kevin Byard's been saying it all year long. These are not your same old Chicago Bears.
Now the curling's over, we should flip that over. The Bears have won 8 of their last 9 games. The Eagles fell to the Cowboys in week 12.
Yes, sir.
The team that wins has the best chance of catching the Rams for first place in the NFC.
Do you need a coffee, sir?
I'd like to watch the football game. It was just a request.
Come. Look at that. It's already going.
Meanwhile, the curling just ended for the women's final. Rachel Holman beat Christina Black 5-4 in game one of the best of three.
She put up a good fight.
I thought it wasn't going to be close, and then she stole one.
Yeah.
And was able to hold Holman to one, which she had a shot at
Holman
the end.
Missed a couple, too, where she should have walked away with two, right?
So Rachel Holman takes game one. It can end it tomorrow in game two of the best of three women's final. As for the men's semi last night.
Is there a little magic for Mike right here? Have you got this? Bang. No, not enough. And it will be one more. Dunstone here in 10. And Dunstone will advance to play for the Olympic spot.
Yeah, and about the, I think it was the sixth end, Mike McEwen gave up a 3 to Dunstone, and then he was playing chase mode the rest of the way. Yeah. So Matt Dunstone wins it 9-5, the final. It is 5:30, the start for game one of the best of three men's final. They take on Brad Jacobs, does the Matt Dunstone rink.
So with the break yesterday from hockey, they're jamming a bunch of games in today as far as the NHL goes, and we got a ton of matinee hockey action as well. I'll run through the Canadian teams for you here. 3 o'clock start for these four teams. Montreal is in Vegas, Ottawa in St. Louis, Vancouver is in San Jose, Calgary is in Florida to take on the Panthers. And then at 4 o'clock, you got Winnipeg in Carolina and Toronto in Washington. The Oilers are the only Canadian team not in action, and the six remaining Canadian teams all on the road today.
There is one final already. The Leafs doubled up on the Red Wings 6-3. And the Rangers doubling up on the Bruins 4-2. That's going on right now. Meanwhile, speaking of the Oilers who aren't playing today, the goaltender of much debate, Stuart Skinner, met with the media yesterday with an interesting back and forth.
The fan wants, every time you turn around, they want another goalie. Yeah. Don't want you. I mean, that must hurt.
Hasn't that happened? It's happened a lot here, no?
Oh, my goodness.
I thought Stuart Skinner handled himself extremely well.
I was impressed. Listen.
The vultures were circling. The media was on him about his play. Does he want to be? Why do you want to be here when all the fans don't want you to be here? And
yeah.
Do you even want to, or do you regret choosing to be a goalie in your youth? Someone asked him that. Like, okay. Do you regret being a goalie in your youth? And he did say, well, maybe I'll get my kids to play
forward.
Skater.
Yeah. The thing I liked about it was that he's not playing the victim here.
No.
Right? And I appreciate that. And the thing about the conversation revolving around Skinner right now is much like the Brett Lawther conversation in Regina. Everyone loves Stuart Skinner. Everyone does. You can be angry at his play as a person. He is a phenomenal guy. Pickard is, everyone loves Pickard as well. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where, if you're calling for his head right now, it's because the team needs a shakeup. And that's kind of where I'm at. I understand that there's other issues with this team, but I think that they've got to do something to send a message. And they're not going to bring in a new coach, right? So there's got to be a sacrificial lamb here. And I think Skinner might, if he gets into another, a better situation, might have a, you know,
well, right now,
his career a little bit.
That's the one thing. I'm like, who's taking Stuart Skinner? He's 46th in save percentage for goalies who played more than 7 games. He's 43rd in goals against average. But the issue is his backup's worse.
Well,
Pickard has got a worse save and goals against average. Like, it's more than goaltending. This is a whole effort thing. It is a whole team identity, again, with the Edmonton Oilers. It's like every 2 years, if we go through this with the same crop of players in Edmonton where it's like they give up defensively and forget what team defense looks like.
Yeah.
Then they have to fire the coach so the new guy comes in and kicks some tail around there. And then they're, oh, yeah, let's play defense again, boys. And then 18 months later, here we are all blaming the goaltender again for the Edmonton Oilers' woes. It's way deeper than that. This crew as a collective needs to be better across the board and not blame the guy who's taken you to 2 Stanley Cup finals as your goaltender. Like, seriously, what other goalie's out there who's been to 2 Stanley Cup finals, taking a team to 6 games and 7 games? Who's out there? Andre Vasilevsky's not coming to save you, Edmonton. But sure,
Bobrovsky.
Throw the baby out with the bathwater because your defense sucks and your goaltending is hopeless behind them, in my humble opinion.
Well, I seem to recall you having a different opinion in the playoffs last year.
As Skinner can get there.
I don't think he can. I think that you get to a point where it... I understand what you're saying. I think you got to make a change. And sometimes that's the only way to shake shake the tree loose here. And unfortunately, you're going to lose a nice guy like Skinner from the... Yeah, also, I will say this. There are times where he does not look comfortable back there.
The other night, like, I watched that game the other night, and there's nothing that guy could have done. Like, make a big save.
Out of the 8 goals, you're telling me there wasn't...
Well, he was only in for 4 of them in the first period before they yanked him. And those 4 goals that he was on the ice for, there wasn't one where I'm like, wow, that's a bad goal on Stuart Skinner. Power play goal and 2 freebies in front of the net where everybody's watching. And then one guy's coming in by himself to go top shelf bar down. Like, a perfect, couldn't have placed the puck any better than that. But, yeah, it's Skinner's out. What is it, Tristan Jarry they're looking at now with Pittsburgh?
He's got injury, like, issues.
Yep.
I think you bring one guy in. That's what I think. You're not wrong. No one's wrong in this situation. And what are you going to do?
Everything's rotten in Edmonton right now.
Who would you take? Skinner or McDavid?
You get a lot more from McDavid than anybody on that roster.
Who would you take? Would you take Bouchard's contract or Skinner's $2 million contract?
Oh, I'm keeping Skinner over Bouchard on that. Based on money, absolutely.
So when the phone starts ringing, who's going to make room for Bouchard?
Who's going to make room?
Nobody's making room for Bouch. So you do something, and that something's going to be Skinner.
And Bouchard's defense is going to make Tristan Jarry look like garbage. 1-877-332-8255.
When you see a goal, look around for number 2. When you watch a goal against, a bad cough up,
then why are you blaming 74?
I told you, I don't know how many times, something has to be done. They have to do something. And I think that might shake the tree.
Have him make popcorn up in the press box for a week.
How many times have I been calling for them to bench Bouchard?
I know, but now you've turned your attention that somehow Stuart Skinner will wave a magic wand over the Edmonton Oilers.
So do nothing and just hope that they fix it?
I didn't say do nothing. I said Bouchard's the guy you got to fix, and Nurse, and Ekholm.
What is wrong with Ekholm this year?
And McDavid defensively, and Draisaitl defensively. You have to fix a lot of that team.
I think the biggest issue with Draisaitl and McDavid, and again, this isn't me defending their defensive play, is that they're out there for 25 minutes. So when you leave a guy out for as long as they play, they're on the penalty kill now.
I just realized something. If we're at the same table tonight, our wives are not going to want to sit with us. I just realized that.
So if you leave those guys out there defensively, they're going to have lapses. And that's when you need a goaltender to steal you one every once in a while. And that's not happening. Anyway, we can move on.
1-877-332-8255. I thought we didn't want to get into the Oilers debate today. But coming up next, the Green Zone Tic-Tac 20 contest. We're giving away a ton of money. Maybe it's going to be you today who has the opportunity to win some cash tomorrow in the NHL. We'll tell you about it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It hurts, and I am too
All Request Friday. People want us to sing a duet for karaoke.
No. I am not singing, and then I have an even a bigger aversion to duets.
Text in. Steve wanted, right said, Fred, I'm too sexy for a karaoke tonight at the Christmas party.
Do you sing?
No, I do sing. Do I sing well?
No. Karaoke.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember if you went up last year. Britton was up there 42 times last Christmas party.
Expect it again, Locker. Expect it again. Let's get to the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. David Mady from Regina is our contestant. $100 jackpot because someone won $300 last weekend with a quick goal in the National Hockey League. 11 games tomorrow in the NHL. If someone scores in the first 20 seconds, David wins the money.
$100 is $100.
It is. And then if he doesn't, if nobody scores in the first 20 seconds of the first period in the NHL tomorrow, that means the jackpot goes to $200. And you dance at the club, oh
mama. I'm just having fun. I hate this idea. On the stage in my heels,
it's where I belong down. I might give this a shot tonight. Thanks for the advice. I'll request Friday your suggestions if they bring out the karaoke machine again at the Ralco Christmas party.
No, they
what
are.
What should we sing? Is that official?
I think it is, yeah. I was hearing people complaining about it in the hallways.
Pink Pony Club. There you go. Locker's favorite song here in the Green Zone.
We were trying to get our producer, Scotty, to bring his cornhole.
Oh, yeah. He's got a cornhole
set. I'd rather do that.
I'd be back there all night playing
What about darts?
No.
Darts at a Christmas party, yeah, that's probably a bad idea.
Sharp objects? No, thanks.
That's a good point. Good point. Okay.
Okay, let's...
No ideas when you're... Bad ideas when you're brainstorming.
Let's shift focus to the Western Hockey League as we bring on John Keane, the voice of the Kamloops Blazers. Of course, the Blaze podcast. And, of course, for a couple of decades, host of the WHL radio show. And another happy person that the Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions. John, how'd you feel a couple of weeks ago with that victory?
Oh, man, that was so good. And, you know, we have a little Saskatchewan contingent out here in Kamloops, B.C., in the interior. And some of the Blazers staffers are from Saskatchewan. And, in fact, our longtime trainer, his son, Tyler Robinson, is the assistant equipment manager for the Riders. So, real exciting. That was awesome. I want to thank you guys for the coverage. And, you know, nothing beats a Grey Cup, but to win it in Winnipeg is even sweeter for sure.
Oh, just a little bit. Also, I opened your Twitter account and a bunch of balloons popped up. Is it your birthday today?
Oh, no. Yeah. Apparently, if Twitter says that, then I guess Twitter doesn't lie. So I can't think of a better way to spend my birthday than with Jamie and Locker here.
There we go.
In the Green Zone.
Happy birthday, John Keane.
There's just a touch of sarcasm in that. That's okay. We'll allow. You know what? John, I moved around in my radio career a bit. And the one thing that I've learned about being in radio for as long as I have is that every radio station has someone from Saskatchewan in it. It's a thing, isn't it? True. It's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's cool. I don't know what. Maybe it's because I don't know. You could insert a prairie joke here, but you know, maybe it's a lack of technology. I think we all sort of grew up like, you know, thinking the radio was a really big deal, and we still do.
Oh, that's hilarious. Let's jump into the WHL. PA Raiders, just one regulation lost. Are you surprised to see them start the season this strong?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, we were out there through the month of October, and I was really impressed with Prince Albert, just their buy-in and their culture under head coach Ryan McDonald. I think they have something pretty special there. Like, I don't want to discredit anybody on that roster, but they lack, I think, some star power, some elite star power. But they've been able to, you know, win as a team, score as a team, and keep the puck out. So I've been really impressed with Prince Albert. I think they are the team to beat in the East Division, at least to start the year.
Oh, well, they got the Czech goaltender who's just batting down the hatches after they, of course, they had a star last year with Hildebrandt. And now it's, okay, go out and get the Czech kid, and he's playing some great net. I want to talk a little bit as well about Maddox Schultz and Liam Pugh because there's a lot of excitement. Of course, there is. Number one, number three in the draft. Schultz has only been able to play 8 games, 4 points. Pugh's played 12. How much did we really have to temper the enthusiasm over 2 15-year-olds trying to find their way in the Western Hockey League?
You know, I think we see when they go back and play against their peers or around the same age group like they did at the U17 World Challenge, that they just, you know, were back in their element and they dominated. And you see what the numbers they're putting up there in the Saskatchewan U18 AAA League, right? When they play with their peers, their age group, they can be dominant. But people forget that this is a tough league. It is the best junior league in the world, populated by 18, 19, and 20-year-olds of NHL-drafted players and some of the best players from around Europe and some of those other countries. It's tough. It's tough to go in and be a dominant player at 15, 16, 17, unless you're Connor Bedard. It's really hard to do. So, I think we got to pump the brakes a little bit. I think we're seeing a little bit of that. I know we were through Regina. I thought Maddox Schultz had an okay game. He had an assist, and, I think he won some faceoffs, and the Pats picked him in the three stars. I was like, okay, well, if that's the bar, okay. But I definitely, I think we're seeing for sure that this league is a lot better than maybe some give it credit for.
What are you seeing in their game, the two of them, that you like?
Well, what I like is, I think, they are, when they have the puck, they can be special players. And I think it was Liam Pugh gets a bit stronger and more adept to this level. I think he can be a guy that's going to score some goals. I like that they're tenacious. I like the fact that they're playing in a league with 3-4 years players older than them. But to give you a real solid answer on that, I think just wait and see. I think we're going to, see the best out of these guys in the years ahead. For Regina, they can play the patient game here a little bit with these guys. They don't have to get them in the lineup. I know they want to play 34-plus games here, but it really is the long game with these two.
Much has been made, of course, John, over the last year with the NCAA. All the attention was Gavin McKenna. He goes to Penn State. But on the flip side of that, you're watching the benefit of this rule change in Kamloops with J.P. Hurlbert. Of course, he's a Michigan commitment, but because of the rule change, I'm going to go play in the WHL with, Kamloops. Tell us about him first as a top NHL prospect coming up here, but also, are we starting to find a balance of the give and take that this NCAA eligibility rule is going to have with the Western Hockey League?
I hope so. What I think we're going to see is just wild swings of the rule change helping teams 1 year and absolutely devastating them the year next, based on, can you get your 19-year-old or 20-year-old top players to return another season? In Kamloops, you're right, J.P. Hurlbert was a net positive for sure. And at some point the shoe will be on the other foot. Like, he is supposed to go to Michigan next year. Now, the Blazers would love if he was a first-round NHL pick and that NHL team threw a contract in front of him and said, here it is, your entry-level contract. Sign here, that puts him, in the WHL for another year or two before that kicks in. So, JP's been great. He has been a special player, not only on the ice, but off the ice. He's a pure shooter. He's a guy that finds open ice and likes to let that one-timer fly. To say that, though, he'd be leading the league in scoring and the CHL in scoring here to close out November, I don't think anyone would have predicted that. I think he's exceeded expectations, and he's definitely put himself on the map. And, he's embraced it. He is here, living the Kamloops life. He likes the city. He likes the fans. He always, goes out of his way to thank fans. He's with a Billet family with a couple of little kids, and he's embracing it all. So I give him a lot of credit from, getting out of his comfort zone from Allen, Texas, to come up here and do his thing.
John, Gavin isn't having the year that I think a lot of people thought he would have in the NCAA. Not that he's having a bad year. Does this slip a bit? Does it hurt his chances at number one, or is it just a clear-cut case of him, just finishing out the year?
I don't know. I think Keaton Verhoef has started to make his name known a little bit more as a potential guy. And remember, he went to UND. He's just a 16 or now 17-year-old defenseman doing his thing. The crazy thing to me, guys, is that for Gavin McKenna, for him to get rolling again in Penn State, he's going to have to wait 40 days between games, which is crazy in the circles that we run in the Western League. They have a 40-day break between games. Now, granted, he'll play World Juniors, but we talk about, the development curve, and we talk about, trying to, develop players for the next level. Not playing for 40 days at Penn State is really off the charts for me, and he's probably thinking about it right now, being like, okay, well, yeah, the nil money has been nice, but, at some point here, I want to play a game. We're always going to see that balance of what's the right what's the right number? What's the sweet spot number for? Yeah, I know him and his teammates got to be just like, wow, we got to wait till January 3rd until we play our next game at the NCAA level.
John Keane joining us, of course, the voice of the Kamloops Blazers. You can now check out the Blaze podcast as well, not only on the Blazers, but all things Western Hockey League through BC, and of course, a former voice of the Swift Current Broncos. The new franchise, the Penticton Vs. I know you haven't really seen them yet, but you got a triple header coming up against the Penticton Vs. How do things look with the newest team to the Western Hockey League?
Yeah, great question. We'll find out. Like you said, it's going to be a triple header here starting Saturday to really acquaint the two franchises. They've more than held their own, for sure, out here. They have really adopted almost a junior A roster style. They've sort of kept that with older players. Like, they are the oldest team in the WHL, which is, you know, granted, they are granted four 20-year-olds. But with that said, they have gone out of their way to find 18, 19-year-old players in North America that can come in and help them now. Like, they have a mentality of, we want to win now. We have a bit of a reputation in the community of Penticton to uphold. And they came in, you know, used two first-round draft choices to acquire players for this season. So we're going to see. Apparently, they're made up of a really good top line with Jacob Vasnika, who has probably got a good shot to play with the Americans at the World Juniors this year in Minnesota. But after that, I've heard they just play good structured hockey under Fred Harbinson, and they're a tough out. So we'll really get a good taste of what they're about. But when you're used to winning, I think at one point, what was it? They had a record of some like 40 straight wins on home ice. And now you're in the battle every night in your own rink. You know, I think they've done a good job to adapt here so far.
So we had this conversation in the Green Zone Lounge earlier, John. Raiders or Everett Silvertips, the Avs of the WHL?
Sorry, say that again. Get that comparison to me.
PA Raiders or the Silvertips as the Avs of the WHL?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one. You know, you're right. With Everett, the one thing that has been missing with them has been a playoff run. For whatever reason, they can have great regular seasons. They're doing it again. But whether the way they're built with their style of play, it just hasn't held up in the playoffs. And you credit Prince Albert. You know, what have they done? They've been able to keep it going and win a WHL title just a few years ago. And they'll have another shot this year. So, you know, I love the small markets. I love the fact that you can look back in the WHL here the last 5 years, 6 years, and see that Swift Current won. You can see that Prince Albert won. You can see that Moose Jaw won. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, what does that say about the league right there?
And the Kelowna Rockets, how busy are they going to be? They've done some buying. They've done some selling. They are hosting the Memorial Cup. What's the next month going to look like?
Yeah, that's a great question, guys, you know, because they lost Peyton Kettles likely for the year. That was another whole story in that trade from Swift Current about, you know, how much was disclosed with a shoulder injury, and now the Rockets are apparently going to see compensation for the boatload of draft picks and a player that they gave up to acquire Peyton Kettles. Just another mess that the Swift Current Broncos don't need right now. So I think they're still probably on the lookout for a right shot defenseman, an elite right shot defenseman. I still think they have some ammo. You look at their draft board, you look at their young players, like they can do a whole lot more if they have to. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about a slow start. Granted, but they also were the fewest games played in the Western Conference forever. Now they're catching up in games played. They're starting to get some traction. They come off a big win against Spokane, 6-1 here on Wednesday. So I definitely think they'll look to add. Like, you look at what Brantford's doing in the OHL, and they're putting together like an all-star team. They've already acquired Jet Lachenko here just a couple of days ago. So I think if you want to run with the big dogs, and I think that Kelowna is, as they say, in it to win it, they probably have three or maybe four major moves left here.
So our Green Zone question of the day today, we've got our Christmas party tonight here for the Regina Rocco building. What professional athlete, John, would you invite to your staff Christmas party?
Oh, professional athlete. What professional athlete would I... What do we have some options here to pick from?
I was thinking like a Jason Kelce or a Gronkowski or a Marshawn Lynch or what? Somebody said Ben Hebert.
Somebody ought to pick mine.
You know, maybe Maddie Dunstone would be a good time.
Yeah, Maddie. You know, Maddie keeps it pretty calm in the during the curling season, but you get him away from the rink, and you know, he's got a little bit of game to him for sure. That might be our favorite. You know, where we're cheering for Matt here in Kamloops. Like, you know, we've had a pretty good string of Olympians, and if he can somehow find a way, you know, here, you know, of course he lives here and his wife's from here. I think that, you know, we could definitely get Matty going. But I'm kind of jealous, guys. You're talking about a Ralco Christmas party. There is nothing like a Saskatchewan radio station Christmas party. So you guys have fun tonight.
You don't have to tell us, John. You have fun tonight, whatever you're doing for your birthday, John. Happy birthday. Thanks for joining us today.
Put on your drinking hat.
All right. Well, it's another birthday at the rink here, so I'll let you know how that goes, guys. But always fun to chat.
That is John Keane, play-by-play voice of the Kamloops Blazers, host of the Blaze podcast here on the Green Zone. Coming up next, we have been celebrating Grey Cup memories for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders over the years. Today, on this day in sports history, well, it's quite the opposite of that. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, it's time for this day in sports history. We've been doing a lot of reminiscing. Riders win the Grey Cup. Riders win the Grey Cup. Well, let's not do. Let's not make too big of a deal on this one.
Did we run out of Grey Cups, Jamie and I?
November 28th, 1976.
Gabriel is open in the end zone. Touchdown!
Yeah, that happened to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders at the end of the Grey Cup against the Ottawa Rough Riders in 1976. All I'm going to say is this. Be thankful that tomorrow is a Saturday and we're not on the air, so we don't have to remember what happened on November 29th. In sports history. Something to be thankful for this American Thanksgiving.
I actually heard a reference to the double Rough Riders in the CFL the other day, listening to a podcast. How long ago was that a thing? And this was from a guy in the U.S., a hockey guy.
It would have been 93-ish
was it?
When the Rough Riders went away.
They were laughing about the fact that there's like so few teams in the CFL and two of the teams are named Rough Riders.
Well, not anymore. And then the Renegades came in and now it's the Red Blacks, of course.
Red Blacks!